Lord, that you lift your hand tonight, Lord, and we want to see it. We know, Lord, it's not to strike us down, but to pick us up. It's to guide us along. It's to provide for us. Lord, I pray that we see you tonight. I pray, Lord, that we enter into your presence. God, we thank you for that time of worship. God, we pray that you would speak to us through your word. That you would have your way. Lord, help us to receive all that you have for us. I always picture the dinner table, and my dad wouldn't let us be excused until we finished everything in our plate. So, Lord, we come to your table. We know that you have prepared a meal for each one of us. And I pray, Lord, we don't get up until we're done. Until we receive everything you have for us. Help us, Lord, to receive by your Spirit and through your Spirit. We rely on him to be our teacher. We're nothing without you, Lord. We truly are. So, Lord, we commit our time to you. We just lift up the many, Lord God, that need a touch from you. And, Lord, we're coming eyes wide open because we wish to see Jesus. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So we're still in Psalm 145 as we continue in the Psalms. Last week we looked at the unsearchable greatness of the Lord and how this was the last psalm that was attributed to David. You might say it's the last words of David in the Bible. I'm sure he was older during his lifetime and the things that he may have said and Samuel and Kings, but as far as in the chronology, if you will, of the Bible or the order of the Bible itself, this would be the last words written by him. He was desiring for the folks that he was writing to see the blessings of the Lord. I titled it Bountiful Provisions. Bountiful provisions, just amazing how much God provides in our lives. You know, we're singing nothing without you. You know, take our hands, take our body, take our time. How important is that? Take our time, Lord. Are we giving that to the Lord? Are we trusting God for that? Are we trusting him for everything? When things don't go our way, do we still see God's hand in it? I think a lot of times people think there's a human side and there's a God side. You know, there's a secular side and there's a sacred side. There's not. There's only one side. There's only one place. It's all of God. It's all spiritual. We're spiritual beings. David knew that. David wanted the people to see that, to understand that. David went through a hard time. We've looked at the life of David, you know, snapshots of it. It was not an easy life. He had blood on his hands. He was a warrior. He was the Green Beret or the Navy SEAL of the time. I mean, he was the guy that people looked to and relied on. I don't know how big he was. It doesn't tell us anything about his status. We know that when he was young, he was ruddy looking, but he was a good looking guy. I mean, what would he look like when he grew up? He wasn't nothing compared to Goliath at 9'6". I don't think he was 6 feet. But yet he was a warrior because he relied on God to fight his battles. And the more we rely on God, the more we get to see his hand do the things that he desires to do and not us. The best thing we can do sometimes, you know what it is? Get out of the way. Get out of the way. We get in the way most of the time, you know, because God needs us. You know, we jump in there and we're like, you know, all right, Lord, I'm going to give you a little help today. You know, the Lord doesn't need our help. The Lord doesn't need us at all. But when I think of his love and his provisions and how he's providing for us all the time, everything, it blows me away. You can't comprehend it. You can't put it into words. We looked at last week and how this psalm is an alphabetical acrostic, which means each verse started with letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So for us, if there was 26, whatever verses, it'd be A, B, C, D, E, and each word would start with that letter. For the Hebrew, there's 22 letters in the Hebrew dictionary in the lettering, but there's 21 verses. And so it seems as though there's one missing. There was one that couldn't be put in there because the praise and the end of praise can't happen yet until the church is in heaven and we're all together in Revelation 19 and we're all praising the Lord. And that's when the true completion of it all comes together and we're worshiping and praising God all together as one body. And so it's almost like it was left out for that purpose to say it's down the road still, but when it comes, you're going to know it. Because we're all going to be a part of it. Every one of us will be a part of it. It's going to be good. We've seen the greatness of God. We saw his goodness, verses 10 to 7. We saw his glory, verses 11 to 13. And now we're going to see his grace. And you know that is my favorite. So God is so great that the human mind cannot fathom him. We can't. We try to wrap our mind around it. God is too wonderful. He is too awesome. He's God. He's God. You know, at the baptism Sunday, I was saying, it never rained on that Sunday. We may have had a little misty, you know what I mean, in the morning, wipe down the seats, sun shines when the service starts. Never rained, never. The more I was watching during the week, I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And then Chris says, there's a shower coming. It's going to be right over us when we start the service. Are you kidding me? It poured. It poured the whole time I was preaching, the whole time we were doing worship. People were smart. They had umbrellas. Donna didn't. Nope. I sat under a tree and I still didn't get wet. But you know, everybody was there. And soon as the service was over, because I said, it's about the baptisms. That's why we're there. It's most important about the baptism. When I was done preaching, it stopped raining. And we walked down to the water as dry as could be. I didn't walk back that dry, but I walked down there dry. And I just thought how God's provision, we didn't have to be like, okay, let's stop this service and have a prayer meeting to make sure God knows that, you know, we don't want any rain when we're walking down to the water. No, God knew we didn't want rain walking down to the water. I've been asking him all week for no rain. He brought rain. He brought rain. And then he held it off at the most important time. How do you put that in perspective? I mean, that's God. Yeah, that's but God all day long. It's, you know, sometimes it's cool to just sit back. You know, Elijah went to Mount Carmel, and when he was up there and they was going to sacrifice, and the whole thing was, well, let's see if your God is here, you know, the God of Baal. And then Elijah said, well, I'll call on my God, but you go first because, you know, you guys are many, and so you can call on your God. And they call on their God, and they call on their God, and their God never showed up. And Elijah's mocking him. He's going, well, maybe he's taking a nap. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's just out of town. And he's mocking them. When it came to Elijah and his sacrifice, he poured water on it. He was willing to trust God to douse the altar three times so that the sacrifice was absolutely saturated where it was impossible for man to light it on fire. And God sends fire down, and it doesn't just burn the sacrifice, it burns the whole altar and the rocks, it says. God knew. And sometimes you just got to take a step back, and maybe it's God pouring water on our sacrifice. And we're just sitting back, and we're just watching the Lord and saying, what's the Lord going to do now? Oh, he's going to stop the rain as soon as we're done. Are you kidding? If he told me that at the beginning, I would have been like, all right, God, that's cool. But he didn't. He didn't. Instead, I'm standing and I'm going, well, it never rains on Sunday that we do baptisms while it's pouring cats and dogs outside. And it was so awesome to see what God did. We can't fathom the wonder of the Lord. Listen to Job 11:7. I shared this last week. Can you discover the depths of God? You know, we say when we enter into eternity, we'll still be learning Christ. We'll still be getting to know the Lord more and more for all eternity. We can't say day by day. There's no time in eternity. For all eternity. And the beauty of it is, even though we can learn something of the Lord throughout all eternity, we never overcome him to know him as all of him. We can't. Otherwise, we'd be God. And it's just so awesome to know that that is our God. The rest of the verse says, can you discover the limits of the Almighty? David instructed the folks on the Lord's grace and his mercy. If there's anybody that knew the grace of God, it was David. David messed up left and right. David never kept his house in order. That was part of his judgment. And yet, till his dying day, David just worshiped the Lord. He loved the Lord. God will be faithful in all his promises. Amen? Amen. Let's look at, I just want to get a running start in verse 13. And I'll read to 16. It says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you. Think of that. You give them their food in due time. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Every living thing. The bountiful provisions of God. He knows every need and he's there to help those who call on him. Those who fall, those carrying back-breaking burdens, those who worry all the time. He who reigns is glorious. He's majestic. And yet he comes down and he lifts up and holds up those who are about to fall. He's there to provide for us. The form of the verb here shows that he is always doing this. He's Jehovah upholding. Where do you think you would be without God's hand upholding you? Where do you think you'd be? I tell you where you wouldn't be. You wouldn't be here tonight. Where would our lives have, how would they have turned out? I know if God didn't intervene in my life where I would be, it was clear. And I'm sure most of you would say the same thing. But God intervened, and he didn't just, you know, come in and be a part of our life. He came in to take over our life, to live within us, to show us his mercy, to pour out his grace, to reveal his love. And he continually does that. He doesn't just do it, oh, I'm going to do it today, and today's the day I'm going to save you, and today is salvation, I'll do it today. No, he says, I got you now, and I'll have you then. And I'll always have you. And I'll keep giving. And I'll keep pouring out. And that precious blood, it never stops flowing. It's never going to stop flowing. You know why? Because you're never going to stop sinning. And his blood will continue to flow to cover us, to cleanse us, to purify us, to sanctify us. It doesn't just save. It goes beyond that. He raises up all who bow down. That's worship. That's worship. That's in your heart. Many are despondent. They cannot lift up their heads in courage or their hearts in comfort. They just don't have it in them. God will. God will do that. I love Psalm 3, verse 3. It says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head." You're a shield about me. I think of that, and I'm like, if God is the shield, God is my shield, and he's around me, pray tell me, who's going to do anything without his permission? Who's going to do anything? And then the glory, my glory is him. He is the glory. I think it's Zechariah 2:5. It says that he's a wall of fire round about in the glory within. So he's a shield and he's a fire. Who's coming near me? Nobody. Who's coming near you? Nobody. But he's the glory. We don't have glory of our own. He is the glory. He'll always be the glory. It's interesting. You know, it says that some are bent. They're bent with their daily load. They're carrying things they're not meant to carry. I've done this for years. Let me tell you. I still subconsciously do it. I don't do it intentionally. I don't think I'm doing it. Like, I think I don't have stress. I think, oh, I don't have stress. I mean, I walk with God. I'm not. Then my chiropractor does these tests on me, and it's all like stress tests. And then it comes back, and I get a 65. I'm like, how? Why is that number? Like, why didn't I get 100? I'm not stressed. He says, you know what it is? Stress. I'm like, I'm not stressful. I'm not. But you don't realize what you're carrying in your soul. You don't realize the things around you and how they can affect you. And without letting them, it's not like, you know, I want everybody's burden so I can be the hero burden bearer. Listen, Jesus is the burden bearer. Amen. He's the one who carries our burdens. But it's amazing that in our lives, without realizing it, listen, if God doesn't lift my head, I'm not getting up. I'm not getting up. There's times I get tired and weary. I don't want to get up. I'm not one for the snooze button because I'll just keep using the snooze button. So I just get up, you know, just let this show begin now. But it's like, there's times you don't want to move. You know, you're tired. But God lifts your head. He lifts your head. He cleans you up, gives you a little boot, and you're on your way. And next thing you know, you're living life and you're looking to Jesus. And the Lord keeps revealing himself in different ways. And you see that he has bountiful provisions for our lives. For our lives. You know, we sing that song, "Oh, How He Loves." Did you let that touch your soul? You can't wrap your head around God's love. You can't. We see love as tangible. Someone says, "I love you," they should act like they love me. Or don't tell me you love me. But when God says, "I love you," he acted it out too. And he went above and beyond anything we could have asked or thought. It says the eyes of all are on him. The eyes of all. You're going to see all the alls in these last verses. Amazing. As children look to the Father for all they need, so do the creatures look to God, the all-sufficient provider. They all look to God. They wait and God gives. The Lord of heaven is feeding his great flock both day by day and night by night during every moment of time. I started thinking about the wilderness. They were 40 years in the wilderness. Now listen, that's a whole generation. 40 years. Do you realize how, now if there were a million of them and then they procreated, because they weren't abstinent. So they had children. So they might have been 2 million 20 years into it. They might have been 3 million 40 years into it. Where did the food come from? Do you realize how much food, how much manna had to fall from earth to feed a million and a half, 2 million people? That's mind-boggling. How about the meat? I mean, really? Were the cattle reproducing as much? Where they could just, and if they sacrificed a lamb, how many people did it feed? And so they complain, we get no meat. I love it. They complain, no water. They're like, we got no water. You know, would you bring us out here to die? He has water come from a rock, but not trickling down. Not like the bubbler at North Park, you know what I mean, where you just get a little bit at a time. No, he opened up a rock, and he just poured the water out, and it says the rock followed them. Are you kidding? What a provision. It was almost as though God said, you want it? Here, I'm going to give you a ton of it. I'm going to give you more than you can handle. We want meat. We want meat. He says, I'll send you quail. I love it. He says, I'll send it to you till it's coming out of your nose. Listen, don't ever eat that much where it comes out of your nose. But I mean, he was like, till it comes out of your nose. How much quail do you think had to fall from the sky? I was like blown away when I started thinking about this. Can you imagine? I love these verses. Psalm 111, verse 5. It says, he has given food to those who fear him. And fear is reverence. Psalm 132, 15. It says, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her needy with bread. Are you needy tonight? God's going to provide. I promise you that. Because he just said he would. In Psalm 136, verse 25, who gives food to all flesh, for his loving kindness is everlasting. He gives food to all, you know what all means, right? It means all flesh, every animal, every insect. Psalm 146, verse 7 is another verse. Listen, he satisfies their desires. These are the characteristics of the one whose dominion is everlasting, which is why he is called faithful. We toil for daily bread, but God, all he has to do is open his hand and he hears our cries and meets whatever needs we have. Because he says, cast your cares on me because I care for you. I'll be your provision. Have you let him? Have you trusted him for it? I was thinking of Elijah. In Elijah, in chapter 17, 1 Kings. Go to the widow. Go to the widow's house. She's going to provide for you. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Oh, before that, before he even gets there, there's a drought, and he's by the brook, and so he's got plenty of water, and God uses a raven, a dirty bird, to bring him food every day. Oh, no, twice a day. Morning and night. A bird. You're just sitting by the brook and you're drinking your water, you know, slopping it up. And all of a sudden, here comes a raven flying over, bringing you some more food. Then he says, go to Zarephath or wherever it was, the widow there. And he says, go there and she'll provide for you. He goes there. She's got flour in her hand and a few sticks. And he says, give me bread. She says, this is all I got. Me and my son, we're going to eat it and then die. He says, well, give it to me first. She makes the bread. He says, now go out. He says, now your portion will never run out during the whole famine. And it didn't. bountiful provisions. He goes up on the mountain, right, with the prophets of Baal. Then he's afraid of Jezebel. He runs. He's under a juniper tree. Who comes? The angel of the Lord. What does he bring? Food. Brings angel food cake. It was bread cake. It literally says bread cake. It's from an angel. What else you going to call it? And he brings the food. And he brings water. Like, come on. He says, get up and eat. The journey's long. It's going to be a 40-day journey, and this will sustain you. Bountiful provisions. Amazing, the provisions of God. How about feeding all the creatures in the sea? I mean, never mind all the birds, which they all seem to be doing pretty good. You know, they're not dropping from the sky all, you know, malnourished. They're not. But what about the sea? And how God just keeps that whole system going. How about in the remote areas where man isn't even there, but animals are? And God's caring for them. And he's providing for them. Bountiful provisions. If he's providing for the critters, for the birds, for the fish, how much more does he provide for us? How much more? God's care for creation extends beyond his provision for men and women. Jesus could say, God also cares for the birds and the grass of the field. Listen to this in Matthew in chapter 6. It says, for this reason, I say to you, in verse 25, I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as what you will put on. Is not life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. God feeds them. That's what David was saying. God's providing all the time. It says God feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Verse 27. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more, I love that, much more clothe you, you of little faith? How much more? Infinitely more. God cares for you. God cares for me. How about when he fed the 5,000? There's 5,000. Well, no, that was just the men. So there could have been 15,000. There could have been more than that. And yet he feeds them on a hillside. He tells the disciples, well, you give them something to eat. Well, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Are you kidding me? There's 5,000 plus. So I always wondered how God did that. But listen to Psalm 104:28. It says, you give to them, they gather it up. You open your hand, and they are satisfied with good. Everything comes from the hand of God. That's what he's telling us. God alone is the provider. With open hand. He does it easily. He does it promptly. He supplies where there is always a need. Listen, the hand of grace is never closed while the sinner lives. The hand of grace is never closed as long as we live. Verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. And then he closes with this: my mouth will speak the praises of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. That's where David wanted to lead it all to. The bountiful provisions of God, his ways and his works are both worthy to be praised. Whatever God is or does, it's always right. It's always right. It's always good. It's not up to us to make. We don't judge. Listen, the soil doesn't judge the seed. The seed judges the soil. That's the word judges us. We don't judge the word. We don't look at it and decide, well, I believe that, but I don't believe that because I don't want to believe that. No, that's truth as well as. In the salvation of his people, he is as righteous and holy as in any other of his ways and works. Throughout the psalm, David has spoken much about how we put praise for God, who is, and all that he has done. We can't measure it. We can't fathom it. God's going to provide. He always will provide. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. Psalm 37, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will fulfill your desires, or however it goes. He hears us. He watches over us. He supplies our every need. How can we not praise him? How can we not praise him? I think God allows us to be in certain situations in our walk with him so that we could see his hand move. I think God takes us to dark places sometimes, or allows it, so we can see his light. I believe that. I believe God allows famines in our lives to give us a greater desire for the things of God. He allows us to thirst so that we run to him for the satisfying. Because if we had everything our way, do we really think that we would just be running hot after God? I think adversity is good in our Christianity. I don't think we should be comfortable all the time. It's okay to be comfortable, but our peace is in him. It's not outside of him. Our freedom is in him. It's not outside of him. Our rest is in him. It's all in him. We're not our own. We were bought with a price. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. A holy heart only desires what a holy heart, a holy God can give. The victory of good must ultimately involve the defeat and destruction of evil. It has to. It has to. So he says he will also hear their cry and will save them. But the wicked, he will destroy. He will. Listen, they keep him in their love, and he keeps them by his love. Again, the alls. Each one of these, God is all in all. He is all in all. We sense that David meant this as a declaration. Whatever others may do, he said, I will not be silent. I will praise the Lord till the end. Joshua said the same thing in Joshua 24. He said, listen, you can go worship whatever God you're going to. But he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We probably all have that in our houses somewhere. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I hope you mean it. Listen, the last verse of the Psalm 145 is the last words we have from David in the Bible. It's his last will and testament. He had said nothing. If he had said nothing else in his life this far, these words would be a fine legacy for future generations. In it, he praises God and invites others to praise God also. God's greatness and grace are reasons for praise. He, however, will never be satisfied until all flesh joins him in the unending chorus that we praise Yahweh. He said, "My mouth will speak the praises of the Lord. I will speak of the praises of Jehovah. I am doing it, and I will continue to do it until I don't have any breath left." I'll close with this. He's in our hearts, and he dwells there by faith. And we dwell in him. May we then love his name, walk in his ways, while we desire that all flesh should bless his holy name forever and ever for his bountiful provisions. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Father God, how do we can't fathom your provisions, Lord, but I pray, God, that you would reveal them to us, even if it's one at a time. Lord, maybe it starts with our breath. Maybe it's relationships, those who love us that we love. And then, Lord, how much you provide and continue to provide and will never stop providing. And even now, Lord, you're preparing a place for us in John 14. Still providing an eternal place. God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for these psalms. We thank you for the devotion of the hearts that wrote them and the lives that will live through them. We thank you, Lord God, for this life that you have given us, that we can see you in ways here, Lord, that we won't there in eternity. But keep our eyes open, Lord, because we grow weary, we get tired, and we need your strength and we need your guidance. And Lord, when you show up with the food, at times, Lord, that we have nothing, may we realize it's of your hand and not the world. We won't fail to give you the honor and the glory. It's in his name we pray. Amen.